Morning, everyone. Monday, July 26th, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Good morning, wherever you're listening. Loz and I will feel like a broken record just discussing the lack of winners we backed on Saturday. it was a tough day across the board, Loz. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, Middo. Good, thanks, everybody. Clarkie, it was just a terrible day of punting on Saturday. You know, I could not pick my nose, and that is something, saying that. unbelievably tough day, but it gave me something to do. So I was more than happy that the races are still going. And then, of course, the Olympics started. And what about our golden girls? How good were they? Unbelievable performance by the 4x100 metre freestyle girls, and I'm sure they'll feature in a lot of heroes this morning. But no, the Olympics on the box, nothing better than flicking through the TV. You've got that much sport to choose from. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I sat there watching hours of it yesterday, flicking between channels. Morning to you, Clarkie. And today, at 20 past 12, we see Katie Ledecky against Ariane Titmuss. They qualified 1-2. Ledecky was quicker last night. Titmuss looked like she had plenty in reserve. But how did you enjoy your weekend? I suppose watching the box a fair bit with not much else to do. How are you, mate?
Yeah, morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. Yeah, it was same but different, Middo, I guess. The advantage of lockdown is there's not much else to do. So TV on, sport frenzy. There was plenty on, just about every channel. There was some sort of sport. So, yeah, got to say, love watching the swimming. Even the basketball, I love watching the basketball. It was, you know, I think we've spoken a lot about the lead-up and what's it going to be like. I've got to say, it's some of the events, the fake crowd's been hard to listen to. But it's been unreal to see the Aussies go to work, and haven't they done well?
Yeah, they certainly have.
Sorry, Mino, one other thing, got to say, what about the circus we saw in Sydney with that rally? Oh, my God, you talk about heroes and villains. Was there anything stupider that we could have done?
It's on the podium.
As a city, my God.
On the podium, if not the top of the podium. That's
that was
sure,
hard to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it certainly was. But let's focus on the many positives, particularly in Tokyo this morning. In fact, before we go to Tokyo, in fact, last night, we've got a new major champion as well in golf, Minji Lee, the 25-year-old from Perth. She's won her first major. She did it in a playoff at the Evian Championship in France. Now, her brother, Minwoo Lee, won the Scottish Open just a fortnight ago. So, well done to Minji Lee. That's a huge performance by her, winning in a playoff there in the Evian. But so many results here to go through. Yesterday, Ash Barty, a shock defeat. 55 unforced errors she made in a 6-4, 6-3 loss to Spain's Sara Cerebes Tormo, the world number 48.
What happened there, Mido? Did you see the press conference?
Yeah, it was pretty... I saw the comments she made to Channel 7 after, and then she didn't go to other media duties after that.
I think...
You know, I'd have to be. I mean, she looked pretty ordinary, pretty rusty there. I saw the end of that second set yesterday. I can only imagine how tough mentally it would be to stay sharp after winning Wimbledon. Like, you go to the top of the tree, you win Wimbledon, and then you go to Tokyo in an Olympics.
Hang on. I get Wimbledon. I get that. You just said, and then you go to the Olympics? That's not clubbies.
Yeah.
It's the Olympic Games. How do you not get up for that mentally?
Again, we talk with tennis and golf. The pinnacle of those sports is not the Olympics. It's not.
Yeah, but it's not a clubby competition, though. I think surely you can get up for that.
Oh, no doubt, but when you look at, when you're Ash Barty and you're looking at your calendar over the year, what are you peaking for? Wimbledon. And she won it. And yeah, I mean, it was a different player we saw there yesterday. No doubt about that.
It was hard to watch.
Oh, she looked...
Yeah, I thought she must have been injured.
Some of those errors, I mean, she wasn't even getting near the court. It looked awful.
Yeah, but
something wasn't
courts.
Right, though, as well. She didn't shake the ref's hand. Like, she just looked a bit... And then not to do the press as well. Very different for Ash.
Yeah, a bit agitated.
Yeah,
agitated by her performance, clearly.
Strange.
Hmm. Did you see it, Loz?
I didn't see too much of it, no. I was flicking around. I saw her in the first set, and she looked out of sorts. The surface, I think, might have been too fast for her. It looked like it was too fast. And she'd been doing a lot of practice, obviously, on grass over there in London. And you're right with what you say, I think, with, you know, yeah, Wimbledon was her defining moment so far in her career. And, yes, you want to go to Olympics and you want to do well. But with a lot of these sports, tennis in particular, it's that individual Grand Slams that you're after. But she was disappointed in the way she played. The Boomers got the job done, though, over at Nigeria. What about the USA going down to France overnight, 83-76? Now, we thought that their form in the lead-up in those exhibition games in Vegas was just that. They were just exhibition games, and that's the way they treated them against Australia and Nigeria when they lost. But I think there's big drama with this US team. That's the first time they've lost since 2004 in Athens. So you'd think that the media will come after them, the US media, because they had a star-studded team and they didn't get the job done.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the New York Post. Team USA men's basketball falls to France in Olympics. Shocker. The other headline on their website, Olympics couldn't be going worse for Team USA. This is the expectations over there. Mm. They didn't win a gold medal on the first day of competition for the first time since Munich in 1972, and they're blowing up the last states. Oh, dear. But, yeah, what a boil over. The other thing with that USA, so they led by 8 with 4 minutes to play, and I don't think they scored another point. So that is a massive boil over. And as far as the market's concerned, the Boomers were scrappy, though. I watched a fair bit of that game last night. Gee, they were scrappy.
Both teams were, weren't they?
Oh, they were.
It wasn't great basketball, to be honest.
Not at all. But the Boomers' defence is outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Paddy Mills. Well, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, genius.
When the game needed someone to take it by the scruff of the neck, it was Paddy Mills, wasn't it, Clarkie?
Yeah, he was. Agree. Yeah, he continues to lead the way. I think, again, listening to him speak afterwards as well, he made it pretty clear that, they're a long way from their best, but everyone had to play a role and everyone did that role. So, that, again, we talk about it in all sports. If you can still find a way to scratch out a win when you're not playing your best, I think that's a real positive sign. And the other thing as well, the fact that US are playing so bad at the moment, that's great for the Aussies, I've got to say.
They're $1.50 to win gold after opening $1.10 Team USA. Australia into $5 with Tab. They opened $26. They were $6 heading into that game yesterday against Nigeria. France are now $9. They're in from $21 after those two significant results last night. Now Australia play Italy tomorrow, where they're 7-point favourites, and USA play Wednesday against Iran, where they'll be just about unbackable there. But we'll get plenty of Olympics across throughout the morning. The Ollie Roos, they lost to Spain last night. We'll speak to Robbie Slater later this morning. But it was a brave performance at 81st minute header. Saw Spain win that game. But yesterday in the NRL, it was Cronulla 44, the Bulldogs 24, and the Gold Coast Titans 32, beating the Dragons 10. Good afternoon for the Sydney sides of the AFL as well. The Swans, Isaac Heaney, what a performance from him. They beat Fremantle by 40 points at Metricon, and a big win for the Giants. They were 16 points down at halftime against Essendon and won by 13 points. Lockie Whitfield starred for the Giants. So they're up to 8. But yesterday, Loz, we'll start with Cronulla. Sean Johnson suffering a hamstring injury, and that could be his last game for the club.
Yeah, he's a professional, Sean Johnson, so you'd think that he'd be able to get back on the paddock between now and the end of the year if, in fact, they do make finals. It was a okay display by Cronulla. The first half, they looked as though they were going to run away with it, and then the second half, Luke Thompson from the Bulldogs. Wow, what a game he had. He led the way for the Doggies, setting up tries and carrying the ball forward. But they need Sean Johnson if they're going to threaten the Sharks. He's their key playmaker. They've got some good, strong forwards. Craig Fitzgibbon will be looking forward to going there at the end of next year. They signed Dale Finucane yesterday on a 4-year deal, so that's a good signing for them. But I can't see the Sharks, regardless of whether they make the finals or not, making a dent in this competition. The Titans, Dave Fifita off the bench, inspirational against the Dragons. And the Dragons sitting in 8th place, but they've got a tough draw between now and the rest of the season. And it'll be tough for them to make the 8. And they've still got players that have to miss games. The Eagles on the weekend, Cherry Evans produced a good performance. Tom Trbojevic, as he normally does, was very influential with the Manly team. Penrith and the Broncos, and also Melbourne with the Cowboys. They weren't at their best, both of these clubs. They're coming off big seasons already. A lot of players involved in State of Origin. There's a bit of a letdown after the Origin period. They were playing teams they were expected to win. But we look forward to their clash on Saturday night. This is the game that everyone's been looking forward to for a while. Penrith may not have a lot of their players available. Isaiah Yeo got knocked out on the weekend. More than likely, he'll be missing. You've got Cleary already missing. You've got James Fisher-Harris leaving to go back and spend some time with his partner who's about to give birth to a child. So Penrith won't be at full strength, but I don't think that'll take anything away from the game because I think Penrith will be up for it. But whether they're good enough or not against this full-strength outfit of the Melbourne Storm, I don't think they can win, but it'll still be a good game of footy.
Yeah, it's a shame with Penrith looking like they're going to be undermanned for that clash. Now, Clarkey, yesterday, the Aussie cricketers, well, it was a poor batting performance to say the least, but the big news to come out of the last couple of days, Aaron Finch set to have knee surgery next month after he endures 14 days quarantine. He's on his way home, so he's in some doubt for the 2020 World Cup in October as the Aussies went down by 4 wickets and, the Windies did it pretty easy with 12 overs remaining there in Barbados yesterday.
Yeah, they weren't great, the Aussies. I watched a bit of that and their batting was quite poor. Lost a couple of wickets early just through shot selection and then spin. There was a bit of turn and the West Indies made the most of it. So, yeah, they'll be disappointed. Thank God the Aussies' tail wagged. They could have been bowled out for 90. Wes Agar, I think, got 40-odd as well and led the way with the bat, Ashton Agar's brother. So, yeah, not a great performance. Again, Starkey was good up front with the ball, though. Got a couple of wickets early and gave the Aussies hope, but unfortunately, they couldn't get over the line. So they got some work to do. And, yeah, tough one for Finchy now. Confirmed he's got to have surgery, so he misses the rest of this tour. Well, he comes home 2 weeks isolation, so that postpones surgery even more. Miss Bangladesh, and he'll be fighting to have enough time to be right for that 2020 World Cup. Going to be very interesting to see what they do with the captaincy. Another reason, you know, you look at these players that are at home that are not on this West Indies tour, this would have been an ideal opportunity for someone like Pat Cummins, or if they were going to go Steve Smith, whoever they were thinking, as the next captain for Australia, this is the ideal opportunity to give them this preparation leading into the World Cup. But unfortunately, both those two players particularly are not on this tour.
Plenty of Olympics everywhere. One giant leap is the headline on the back page of the Daily Telegraph. Grit expectations. Boomers win ugly, and they certainly did that. 84-67 last night against Nigeria. Great defensive performance, and Paddy Mills was the star. 25 points amongst his stat sheet. Ban on cards for Buddy. Also, the back page of the telly, Swan blow. So, in the midst of that 40-point win against Fremantle at Metricon, and a magnificent performance from Isaac Heaney, 5 goals, and also a spectacular mark in there as well. But Lance Franklin, who kicked 2, just a little elbow to the back of the back of his elbow, collected a Freo player in the face, so he could find himself in a bit of trouble. The Swans are now won 4 straight, though, Loz, and I'll tell you what, they're a team no one's going to want to play in the finals.
No, they started off a little bit slow, but in the second term, they started to get their themselves together, and their pressure was, as I think John Long and I said after the game, was through the roof. They just competed, and that's what we've come to know from the Swans, and you chuck in a bit of class with Heaney and Franklin. They're a team to be reckoned with. But, you know, Buddy could find himself on the sideline for a week or two. 5 goals, Isaac Heaney, 22 disposals. He took a spectacular mark as well, but he's an elite player in this competition. Also well done to the Giants. I mean, taking on Essendon, it was a tough game. They are now in the 8, and, you know, by 2 points. But they've got a, you know, still a you know, a tough road ahead of them leading into the finals. So if they can get there, along with the Swans, it's been a good year for both those clubs, given they've been on the road now for, 5-6 weeks? And that could be quite difficult. But Sydney, they take on Essendon next week, and that'll be a tough game because Essendon are still competing for a finals position. And then the Giants take on Port Adelaide, who are in the top 4. So it's another must-win game for both these sides.
Also back page of the telly, UK's $1 million Cup ISO Overture, an exclusive in the telly today. So there's plenty of feeling brewing off the of Australia and New Zealand pulling out of the Rugby League World Cup late last week. So there was a push, a story out on the weekend. There was a push for the Indigenous and Maori teams to take their place. And Loz, you're named as a potential coach, obviously being the Indigenous coach at the moment of the All-Stars game. The idea has support from the likes of Josh Adokar. Clint Newton of the Rugby League Players Association says the decision to withdraw was premature. James Graham on Triple M over the weekend, he says that, well, he was pretty strong, saying that they're hiding behind COVID. This is the NRL and perceived player safety. And that's the feeling back in England. He highlighted how damaging it will be not to have it, considering the UK government is backing it. And his belief is that the players want it to go ahead. Is this a call, fellas, that the players should have been able to make rather than the clubs?
Well, that's the situation we've found ourselves in. The clubs control the players. The clubs have ownership over the players, and obviously they don't want their players to go. They believe it's not in their best interest to have them ready for next season. The players are now putting their hand up. The players want to go. And if this tournament's called off, it'll be cancelled. It won't be postponed because they can't, because you're taking on the Commonwealth Games next year in the FIFA World Cup. So you don't want to be competing against those events. But, you know, a lot of rugby league players will be disappointed that they haven't been given the choice to go and represent whether Samoa, Tonga, Fiji. I'm sure there's Australians that want to go and play in the green and gold. There's the Kiwis that want to go and put on their shirt as well. So I think the clubs have obviously gone to the commission and said, we don't want our players to go, and they've made the call. But I don't know whether it was the right thing to do. And as we said on Friday, it just shows you, I suppose, where we think international football is at. Now, if I'm a club coach, if I'm a club CEO, I'm probably looking at doing that, you know, to protect your players for next year. You're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about international football. But if you're an outsider looking in, you want international football to thrive. And the only way you're going to thrive is to be able to hold these type of tournaments. And the players, I think, enjoy being away, and they'd enjoy going overseas. But it's every individual's right. And I heard Wayne Bennett saying the weekend he wouldn't stop a player. I don't think Craig Bellamy would stop a player.
Trent Robinson said similar.
Yeah,
to
Ricky, I think there's a lot of players, a lot of coaches that would support their players going and playing in these type of tournaments. But there's been a miscommunication along the line between the Players Association, the clubs, and the NRL.
Does this go ahead, Clark? Should this be going ahead, Clarky? The Rugby League World Cup?
Definitely. Again, I said it on Friday. I'll say it again now. Sometimes you got to do what's best for the game, not just a club or not an individual player. The game comes first. This is a horrible look for international rugby league. Horrible. And again, all sports around the world are doing it. They're making sacrifices. They're travelling. They're isolating. They're going into a bubble. Like Loz said on Friday, the players are tired. They're fatigued. Their body's sore. I get all of that. But you got the chance to represent your country. That has to be the pinnacle. It has to be the highest honour to represent your country. It's a World Cup. This is what you play sport for. You know, in sports that don't go to the Olympic Games, for example. For us in cricket, the Ashes, the World Cup, that's what you play for. Rugby league cannot afford, in my opinion, to see international rugby league go backwards. If anything, they've got to do more to promote it. Pump it up more, put it on a pedestal. At the moment, I reckon it already sits a long way behind Origin. Now, it sits behind club footy. That's not right.
And while it is a noble thought, an Indigenous and Maori side entering the tournament in place of Australia and New Zealand, it's a World Cup, not an exhibition tournament as such.
I understand that. I think you want your best players there, and that's what it's all about. It's about Australia representing at the World Cup. But if these Australian players don't want to go, and there's a chance for individuals to form a team and go over and represent on behalf, I don't see why that shouldn't be explored. Now, whether they agree to it or not is another matter. But I always think that, you know, pulling on the green and gold has got to be the best from Australia. And I understand everyone's circumstances are different. Don't get me wrong. I understand that, you know, I haven't lived in the bubble, so I don't know how it feels. But the bubble I'm living in at home, I'd like to be out in another bubble playing rugby league. That's the way I feel at the moment.
There can't be too many differences to the bubble we're living in right now. You can't leave your front door unless you're getting groceries.
Yeah, and that's what I say. I mean, I'd love to be out there playing rugby league and being in a camp with blokes and While you might have some things taken away from you, I still think it'd be better than what a lot of people are going through in Australia right now, in particular in New South Wales. So I understand the risk as well. Sending your players away, you want to make sure that they're looked after, but you would think going over there could be a risk because of the amount of cases they're getting. They're up to 50,000 people getting COVID a day over there in the UK. So I just think it was a little bit premature, that's all, to pull the pin. I don't think the line of communication has been great. I think they've made the judgment call without speaking to a lot of the players, in particular the playing senior players. And I think there could be a little bit of a backlash in the coming days. But I don't think the clubs will change their views on wanting their players not to go. You'll have some players not wanting to go, but afraid to put their hand up and say that. Whereas you'll have other players busting for the opportunity to go overseas and play.
Well, it's Monday, so heroes and villains, give us a call, 1353 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. Ah, stacks of nominations, surely, this morning. Already plenty on the text line. Want to hear from you. $100 gift card to give away. And just a reminder, 12:20 this morning, or this afternoon, I should say. Ariane Titmus and Katie Ledecky in the final of the women's 400 freestyle. Certainly the highlight for the Aussies at the Games today.